right, so I'm going to move your book here, Carlos. All right. Well, it's good to be here tonight, and hopefully you feel the same, and a little bit smaller group tonight, but we'll get through what we need to get through tonight. And it was good to have some people and we haven't seen for a while return this morning, so pray for those people. We have Curtis and Carrie, let's pray for them. They were here, and Mike and Nancy and the boys were here today, so seems like when we send people out to do ministry work, God replaces and He brings back and those kind of things. So there's nothing more that we can, you know, that, like I've always said, you're never going to outgive God, you're never going to outdo Him. He does amazing things. But keep those couples in your prayers. I know one of them had signed up for the marriage conference, so that was a good piece already. So that was good. But this morning, we talked about worrying. I had my 10 pieces up there. I just want to let you know there was a mistake there in the scriptures there where I had Luke chapter 3, 5, and 6. And that famous, where trust the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul. And just like, so it's supposed to be Proverbs. And I knew that. But anyway, sometimes your fingers goes with the way it goes. So we were in Luke chapter 12 this morning talking about worrying. And he gave us about 9 things, some things that we need to work through there by, you know, letting it go, trusting in the Lord, and just we are very important to God. We are more important. We are so important to God. And just some of the other things that were there, wrapping it up, and just thought about the things that we worried about so much, like finances and money and bills, and how's that going to get paid, and our health and our children and our marriage and our jobs and all that stuff, and on how to work through worrying. And so we're going to work on that to a point and just kind of share some things on how to work through those things by some scriptures and applying those scriptures. And, you know, it's one thing to know a scripture. It's another thing to apply it. And to apply it means there's going to be an experience come out of that. Once you share and put that scripture into action, many times there's an experience that explodes out of that. So tonight I want to move it into maybe this is worrying chapter. This is worrying part 2, because I want to put it. I want to find a story that would be like, okay, how do you get through something like that? Now that would cause anyone to worry. So we're going to be in 2 Kings tonight. We're going to go way back to 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to talk about the widow's oil tonight. We're going to look at this because there's something major that's happened here. And I want to tell you, we were talking about, you know, we were talking about our worrying, you know, when we start worrying, we start stressing out, we make other people stress out. Your stress stresses everybody else out around you. So we got to figure out how to control that. But there are some times and things in life when something happens, we got to figure out how we're going to deal with that, okay? When something bad happens or something happens in our life, doesn't mean that we're not going to have some stress or we're not going to have some worry, but we need to quickly figure out how we're going to deal with that. I don't want to tell you the wrong answer is to put your head in a pillow and act like it's going to go away, because your worries are just not going to grab wings and fly away because you're a Christian. Your worries are not going to fly away and walk away because you say a few words or you pray one prayer. And there are times when God does miracles, but there's a process that God wants us to go through so that when we go through it again the next time, we become stronger and we become that strong Christian where people come and people will follow in some of the ways that you do it. And so we see tonight, we're going to look at this in 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to go there. So we're going to look at this. We're going to break this down just a tad here a little bit. It says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah. So this woman comes. It's probably, I just want to say it in common terms, she's a preacher's wife. She's coming up to the main pastor there, the senior executive page. They're coming up to him, and she's crying out to him. They know each other. I'm sure they know each other. And definitely knew who her husband was. So she comes up to him, and here it says, your servant, my husband, your servant. She says, your servant, my husband. We have a partnership in this, that he is your servant, but he is my husband. Okay? He's dead. Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. He says, you know that he has a history. You know that my husband, your servant, one of your pastors, you know that he was a man of God. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. He was the financial provider. Now I can imagine there could be some people, even in our church here, would be like, well, where's his savings account? Where's his retirement at? Didn't he have anything to give to his family to take care of his family? Those things are great if you have them. But our main thing in the world is not to try to save up for that. It is to serve the Lord. Our main purpose is to live life out and to do it the way God calls us to do it and serve the Lord. I was just in the midst of last Saturday in a mini conference listening to a young pastor. Well, he's 40 years old from Cuba, and their average pastor makes $6 a month. I'm not getting a retirement fund on $6 a month. The high end is $25 a month. You're not getting a retirement. Should that stop a person from serving the Lord? No. Okay? And we want to say, where's our faith at? But she has a problem. The creditors is coming. I want to share. Now listen to me now. Most of you are members of New Life Fellowship. If you have an issue, Christians who attend their churches, this is why you need to make sure you attend worship, you're doing your thing, you're doing your part, because someday that's going to come up. And this woman, she had a problem, and guess where she went? She went to the local church. She went to the place of worship. And there was a common bond there because her husband was working and serving there, but there was another common bond. They worshiped there. Okay? Now, I want to share, there are people that come into New Life looking for help for situations such as this. I'll give you one. There was one lady that came in, and I told her we could not help her at that time. She come back in, and then she cursed one of your pastors, Pastor Randy, cursed him out because he would not give her funds for the issue that she was involved in. I'm going to tell you, if someone's going to come in and curse out one of your pastors, you're probably not going to want us to give out any funds. Amen? Thank you. Okay? I got a call recently from Florida, and the man said he had four. He had his wife, and he had two kids with him. And he says, I know you, Pastor Jimmy. I know where New Life is. It's on the corner of Guilford and Franklin. And I was there. I said, what is your name? I can't remember his name. He said, yep. And I was there. I was back there. And I visited that church in August. My car just blew a rod. And I need to get back to Huntington. I need X amount of dollars. I know you guys. And then it's all about how good the church is and all those things. But my answer was, I don't know you. I have not, if I have met you, I have not met you more than once or twice. I do not know you. And he said, I said a couple of things about his kids, how they look this way and this way. I don't remember that conversation. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but you're trying to get me to go back to August. He's trying to go way back and try to put something on the table that will help him. And this, I was like, man, is this guy scamming or not? You know? And I prayed about it, and it's like the Lord just, you know what? No. I'm not going to get any help. I don't know you. And the thing is, we have to be good stewards of what God has given to us. And we have to make sure that we're taking care of what we need to take care of. It's first for inside the church and then outside the church. So we see this piece here that this woman comes and she goes to the church. She goes to the place of worship. She goes to Elijah. She goes to this main prophet. She goes to him and she says, my husband, your servant, who is a man of God, died. But here's my problem. The creditor is coming and going to take my boys as the payment. And going to take them as slaves. Now I want to tell you that there was no committee meeting at that moment. There was no stewardship meeting. There was no deacon meeting. There was none of those things. And Elijah said, now Elijah replied to her, how can I help you? He just heard, didn't he? He just heard the brokenness of her heart. The Bible says that she cried. Okay? He says, what can I do for you? Okay? Now there's a lesson to be learned in here, because today we live in a society that says, give it to me. It's due me. The government owes me. The church owes me. You owe me. You owe me. You owe me. We have this entitlement attitude. And Elijah replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Because I want to tell you, there's something that has to happen. Because when we have this entitlement where everything is due me, I'm a victim, I'm always the victim, and I'm always, everybody's out to get me, and those kind of things. There's a lesson, I think, that God wants us to learn through this, besides the big main lesson. But there's a main lesson here. It says, he says, tell me what do you have in your house? Everybody has something to help in that situation. Okay? It may not be all that you need in your situation, but you have something. She says, your servant has nothing. That's the first part to it. Nothing at all. She says, I have nothing. Come on, man. I have nothing. I just lost my husband. I got my boy, and he's coming. This creditor is coming, and we do owe him. She never denied that. She never denied that. And I want to just take a slight moment here. Never judge someone by the debt that they have. You don't know their story. You don't know their story. You don't know who they're helping financially six states away. Who's helping a mother? Who's helping a father? Who's helping a sick person who continues to help and send money to a jail, to someone in their family that needs to have just the basic things of toilet paper and toothpaste in jail? And maybe they feel that you don't know if the IRS is on someone's back. You don't know any of those things. Never judge someone by what they owe. Okay? This man was a man of God, and he owed money, and it was big enough to where his two sons were going to be taken. I think this man lived from week to week. That's not a sin. To live paycheck from paycheck. That's not a sin. I'm so tired of hearing, you might not agree with me, but I'm so tired of hearing, I love Dave Ramsey's book, but I'm telling you, I'm so tired of hearing, now other pastors would disagree with me, but the Dave Ramsey, the Larry Burkett, those guys are great. But money people talk to money people, I'm just telling you. Poor people don't think like that. Sometimes people just live paycheck to paycheck. Am I talking to some of you? Amen? Paycheck to paycheck. Breathe. It's okay. Because they put pressure on you. You save. Listen, sometimes you're sending a $20 two states away and it really hurts your pocket. It's okay. This woman, his family, not only were they doing it paycheck to paycheck, but now the creditor is coming, and Elijah says this. He says, "What do you have in your house?" She says, "I have nothing there at all." Because that's what we think that we have when we're getting ready to go to crisis. Because we see what we owe, and we see what we have. I can't pay off this debt. But that's not what he asked, was he? He didn't say, do you have enough money? He said, what do you have? He says, I have nothing there. But then she remembers, she says, except a little oil, that's all I got. And she didn't say she had food. She says, all I got is a little oil. How many of y'all ever went to your cupboard? Don't raise your hand, went to your cupboard. He's like, I don't know. And I know what we're going to eat tonight, but I don't know what we're going to eat tomorrow. Every Christmas, I think about 1991, the Dollar Tree Christmas that my family had. They were ready to come and take my truck away. I was losing the apartment. I got out of the military. The economy was just tanked. A couple offers down in Arkansas for police department, one in Florida, but it wasn't right. The pay was just horrible to go down there and get all back into that mess of a life. No, I didn't want that. I didn't feel like that was for me. And I had nothing. We had nothing. We were barely making it. But it's the Christmas I remember the most. And sometimes you think you don't have anything. And sometimes you don't. But then when you take a step back, you look, you say, wait a minute, I do have something. I have a little bit of oil. I remember that guy when he called me on the phone. And he says, this is how much you owe. And I had a big Bronco and I was making decent money in the military, okay money. And the payment was due. And I didn't have enough for that payment. And he says, what do you have? I don't have anything, because I was thinking about the payment. He says, do you have, I figured it was like $78 or something for the interest. I don't know. Give me till tomorrow. Okay, I'll call you tomorrow. So I'm scavenging. Carla, what? And I remember Carla says, one of the ladies that I cleaned for had $30. She owed me $30. So Carla, $30. Can you remember when you worked for $30 for cleaning for a house for so many hours? I remember that. And then what was amazing was Dawn's dad, Carla's stepdad, Phil, called me and says, hey, my brother had a helicopter pad out in Cedar Canyons. He had a helicopter, had all this stuff. He says, I'm moving, I'm tired of Allen County and this and that, because he raised all kinds of fox furs, and he's this very, very wealthy man, big yacht down in Florida. He says, I need some people to help move. And I moved furniture all day long. And there was a moment where they took a break, and it's like, I can't take a break. They gave me a piece of pizza. Everybody, all these rich kids were just chilling out over here. I just kept staying to work because, man, I wanted that. I needed that money. And at the end of it, I got $50 all day and through the night and came home with $50. And that man called me the next day and says, do you have the $78 and some odd cents? I said, I've got $80. And I prayed about that. And God met that need in my life at that moment. But I kept thinking, I don't have anything because I didn't have the full amount. But that's not what he's asking. What do you have? And you have to look at what you have. And then he said, I have a little bit of oil. She says, I have a little bit of oil. This is what we got to learn about who we are in Christ. Christ is not always just going to hand it to you. He's going to say, what do you have? I want you to learn that what you have, I can extend that. I can broaden that. But you've got to put up and understand and use what you have. Elijah says this. This is the instructions. Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask just for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. You're going to do this together as a family. Bible says in Romans, you rejoice with those who rejoice, and you're going to mourn with those who mourn. Sometimes we need to mourn with those in our family, and this family is mourning. My daddy has passed away. These were sons, young sons. Their dad has passed away. They're watching their mom pick it up to this level of trying to be more than just a mom, but step into to be the leader of the family now. It's falling apart, but they got this glimpse of hope, and they're supposed to go around and collect jars, empty jars. Nobody else in town is doing that, but that's the things that God tells us to do sometimes, to do the things that doesn't make sense, so that when it comes out the way it comes out, we can't give no one the credit except for God. Amen? And so he says, don't ask just for a few, but then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. He says, pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. Now, I want to tell you that sounds really odd, because all she's got a little bit. But I want to say, I want to think that she is a faithful follower of God. She's a woman of God. She knows, she's this pastor's kind of, I'm going to say pastor's wife. She's listening to this, and she's going to go with what she feels. Now, listen. This is what people outside the church will not do. This is why we have a hard time helping people outside the church. Doesn't mean we won't help them, but they come in and they just want this. Give it to me. I'm in need. I got two kids. I'll bring them in here and they'll cry. And the females will cry all the time. Please give it to me. I don't have any. And they'll want it. They'll want that funding. They'll want that need. Okay? That takes no faith. You just go up and ask and give me what I need. Give me what I need. But the thing is, many times, they'll walk out the door and they'll come right back because they know you're just going to give it to them. They're not trying to fix any problems. They're not trying to get through the fog of the thing. They're not trying to get through it. They just want that thing for now. And many times, it's just they're not putting anything into it. God's going to want you to put a little bit into this. It's a little bit of work, okay? It's a little bit of work. I want you to go around. I want you to get all the jars you can get. Give me some empty jars. They weren't asking for jars with things in it from other people. They wanted empty jars. So they get all of that stuff, and they box it all up, and they're bringing it all in. They're going in, and okay, so verse 5. She left him, and afterward, now she left him, and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons. There is a moment, look at me, there is a moment that as a church, as a pastor, whether it's at the Women's Lifehouse, the soup kitchen, whatever, we can walk with you for a while, but then there's a time we'll walk with you, but we can't carry you, and we can't carry those people. There's a moment where they got to begin to do this thing on their own. Okay? So he says he left. So it says there, so she left him, okay, and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. So there's the door shut. Now Elijah's outside the door now, okay? But inside that room is this woman. It's amazing that we don't hear the name of this woman, but it's not about the woman's name and her sons. We don't hear, we hear a lot of times we hear names, and this story God just didn't want us to know. And they're in that room. I want to tell you, I'm sure it got real quiet. What are we going to do, Mom? What are we going to do? What do we do? Well, they got the instruction. And it's the same thing. When the church helps someone here, somebody here, we've done this before a few times. And we got to shut the door, and we got to say, okay, and we got to wait to see what they're going to do with what they've been given and what they have. A little bit of what they have and a little bit of what we gave them. That makes sense? What are they going to do? You got to shut the door. There's a moment where they got to work out their faith, and they got to work it out. Okay? It's a quiet moment, but it can be a busy moment. It depends. It can be a complaining moment. Well, they just didn't give me enough. I can't believe how this is going to work. So she left him and afterwards shut the door, bam, right behind her sons and her. And they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. Now the boys were bringing the jars, and she kept pouring. Now remember, all she had was a little bit of oil. Okay? Sometimes all you need is a little bit of faith. Just a little bit. You move mountains, you know? Just a little bit. But you got to have a little bit. Okay? Start pouring that oil into them jars. But something was weird. Fill up that, just a little bit of jar. Would fill it up, bring another jar, and kept filling up from that same jar. God was expanding what they already had. So when all the jars were full, they had all these jars, and I like it because it doesn't say how many jars, because you know what, I look at this story, and as we apply that to ourselves, some of your problems are harder than some of those problems. And some of this, but your needs are a little bit more than what some of your needs are over here, and vice versa, right? It's going to take, it's something different. So it's not about the numbers. So when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. Because, I mean, she's getting a roll on this thing. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. Done. Okay? And she went and told the man of God, and he said, now, so here it is, it's done. Now, he's like, what do we do now? What do we do now? What do we do now? Sometimes God gives you something so big, you don't even know what you got in front of you. I love that. You got something right there, you have no clue really. What in the world are we going to do with all this? I don't get it. She might have had a glimpse of it, maybe. Maybe I could sell this. But when you're busy working, your mind's really tight. I don't want to spill this, so your mind's kind of focused. And this is what he says. He says, now, go sell the oil and pay your debts. Now, did God give her enough to pay the debts? Yes. Enough to pay the debts. But you know what amazing part of it is? It's the second part. Now, you and your sons can live on what is left. There was enough left for them to live off of. Now, they could go out and sell that oil, not only to pay their debts, but what was left was the income, was what they could use to sell for the income, for their food and their rent and whatever else they had and whatever else they needed. I want to tell you, God knows your needs before you even ask. God knows the situation before you even walk into it. We have this feeling, we think God doesn't know. God doesn't understand. God knows everything that you're going through. This whole thing was, I look at this, what did the woman learn on this? We want to run through this before I close out. What did the woman learn about this? I still have to have a relationship with God, even though my husband's dead. I have a relationship with God too. Now, I can't just lean on my husband, because I'm sure she leaned on him. But she had a relationship with God that she was working out. Another piece was, she knew where to go for help. Amen? She went to the church. She went to that great prophet, Elijah. She went to him. We need to do the same thing. We need to go to one another and Christians and say, listen, I'm struggling with something. Please don't, you know, and we need to have some confidentiality amongst one another. Please don't share my story, but I just need you to pray for me or with me because I have a need in my life. Or, hey, what do you think? Because I have an issue that I need some help on or some situation and I really want to go. And you bring it to the church. Can the church always help out in every situation? No, but I know this. What do you have? People have asked me for funds all night. I'll say, how much of that rent do you have? And most of the time I get, and this comes from people outside the church, I ain't got nothing. But when I ask that same question to most people in the church, they'll be honest and say, I only got $100. I only got $25 for that $50 car repair. You guys get it. You know. Takes a little bit of yourself into this. So this woman knew and learned some things through that. Elijah, what was his piece was, hey, there's going to be days that people's going to knock on your door in leadership in the church and they're going to have needs and you're going to have to figure out, you're going to be praying as you're talking to it. As Nehemiah says, I stood before the king and praying at the same time, figuring out what God wanted him to say because he was in fear of the king of what he could do. He was his cupbearer. Same thing here. We need to learn how to answer those questions and be in the spirit, listening to what the spirit has, maybe making a call to someone else in the church. What do you think? What do you think? I've done that with Scott before. I've done that with Randy before. I've even asked Dan for a couple of insight pieces. Because it's good to have guys in the church that you can lean on. Because sometimes, like that one in Florida, was a little bit more of emotional. And I was like, man, I got to step away from this. So I made a call to someone else. I said, man, and then I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, no, let it go. You don't know him. He says and that's what he was using. Like, you know me. No, I don't. And I felt bad because if I did, I don't remember. But I don't have Alzheimer's. I'm okay with that, I think. People will try to pull you. And, you know, when I talked to him, I called him back. And this is what I began to say. I want to tell you, I'm sorry, I don't remember you. I don't think we're going to be able to help you. Bam, the phone just hung up. Bam, he just slammed the phone down. And I just said, wow. And I said, thank you, Lord, for just making this as short as it needs to be. I'm not sitting there trying to back up and all those kind of things. So the prophet here, what did he learn? Once again, he got to see another miracle of God happen behind closed doors. He was a part of it, but yet he was also, that door was shut. That was between that family. We need to make sure as pastors and leaders that we don't always have to be involved in the deepest. We need to step back and let God do something and that family and let them work out some things sometimes. And then when they come back and we hear what happened to that and we go from there. And then we give some more instruction. And that's Elijah was going through some of these, you know, and all the things that he went through. But this is the piece. Now, I look at it and so we learned a little bit about what the woman went through. And I'm telling you, ladies, right now, if you that are married, you lost your husband, you're going to have some worries about where your funds are going to come from. And I'd hope that, you know, that you might have something in retirement. Maybe you don't, because most people don't have retirement these days. But I hope that you know that there is a church that we could be able to try to figure something out together because we serve God. Amen? Okay? And Elijah, he needs to know that some days are not just going to be happy days for some of his people. He's going to lose some of his own guys. And there's families that he's going to have to help take care of to a point. But there's another set here that we're not, there's another set here that's mentioned, but we don't hear them speak too much, and that's the two sons. That's the two sons. And I look at them, and I would really hope that when they grew up, they would say, can I tell you a story of what God did for me and my mama? When Dad died? When we had nothing? And so I would want to believe that these two men, these two young boys grew up given one of the greatest testimonies in that kingdom during their generation. They were always going to have a connection with that church house. There was always going to be a connection with them and Elijah. Always going to be a connection every time they saw a jar of oil. Every time they saw a jar of oil. There's going to be a connection. When I see Christmas trees in the dollar store, I'm connected automatically to 1991 and that dollar store Christmas. I'm always connected to that. It has an impact in my life. And my boys never even knew it was a Dollar Tree experience, Christmas. Because it was fine for them. But when you're sitting there getting phone calls about cars being taken away and about losing your apartment and all those kind of things, and you're trying to put a smile on your face during those times, it can be very stressful. And I've learned to go before the Lord, and I want to tell you some of my most intimate prayers is when I was in need, and I just begged the Lord. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I know you have an answer. Lean on you. And he didn't just magically drop a big bag of gold coins. It was like he spoke through the man and says, I'm not asking for the full payment. I'm asking, how much do you have? And through that, I was able to keep that truck until the next month and make a payment. Sometimes God just gets you through that storm. But that getting you through that storm is a moment where, because there's a bigger storm always arising, it seems like. And we need to learn how to lean on the Lord. And sometimes we need to run to the church house. And we need to ask someone some biblical advice. We need to ask someone to pray with us so that we can get through it and get past it. I want to say that this woman came to the church with a great need, but she left. She left with more than she can ever imagine. She just wanted to know, how can I keep my sons from being slaves? And God says, no, we're going to get past that. I'm going to bless you more than that. See, sometimes we ask too small. And God says, I'm not going to just, no, your sons are not going to be slaves. In fact, I'm going to give you money to live off of. But you know what? You're the one that's going to have to go out and do the work. You're the one that's going to have to go out and get the jars. You're the one that's going to have to be behind the door of faith with just you and me, and we're going to work it out. And you're going to have to pour the jars, that one jar in. And when it's done and you walk out here, you've got what you have, but you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to sell the oil. There's a little work in it, amen? It's okay to have a little work in it, but we still praise God, amen? So as we look at worrying and we look at stressful, death can bring stress, especially on a woman when her husband passes away. How are you going to deal with that, ladies? How would you deal with that today if your husband passed away? I want to say, I just pray that somehow we can help as a church. And we make sure we do something, we figure something out. But I want to let you know, God is the one you go to. Your faith has to be ignited. You have to be willing to work a little bit. It costs a little bit to do it. But I'm going to tell you, God is there. And he'll work it out better than you ever thought you could if you just let God be God. Amen? I love this lesson. It teaches us, even with the darkest moments, God is still there and God is watching. I love the moment when he says, you get behind the door and shut it. And then your faith has to arise to the occasion. So I don't know what you might be worrying about. We talked about that this morning. But I want to ask you this one question. Where will you go when everything falls apart? Because there's going to be a day when everything falls apart. It's part of life. And I pray that you will go to the Lord. I pray that you will go to the church that you attend. I pray that you will go to the leader of that church, the leaders of that church. Gather around godly men and women and start asking for God to come down with a blessed hand and to do what only he can do. Amen. Most people would say this, go up there and say, hey, Pastor Jimmy, I can't pay rent. I need $500 plus. Oh, yeah, I need a deposit because we're moving, and we need $25 to fix my car, and we need $100 in groceries and $50 in gas. That happens a lot. And sometimes three or four of those things are combined together. It's not go up there and give me. It's go up there and say, this is where I'm at. As we learned this morning, the Bible says, lay all your anxieties before him because he cares for you. Where does God do a lot of things from? He does it through the church, doesn't he? So the church picks up sometimes of that burden, but it isn't coming in and getting a free card, sliding it out. No. The question is, what do you have to help the situation so that we can figure out how we can help you and the rest of it. We're not going to be able to do it all either, but we know who can. And your faith has to be ignited in Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand.